Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Right, go on, start.
Sorry I'm late for the podcast. I was talking to Andy Goldstein and Jason Cundy, Jason the Cundy Cundy, about football and all about great game yesterday, Monday. Spurs, 4-0. They're now Leicester are now 5 points ahead of Spurs. It's all to play for. And what with Jamie Vardy, possibly, well, he's out for one game. Could be two, could be as many as three. It is all to play for in football.
Are you still talking?
I'm just doing football.
Can you stop it?
Yep.
It's weird.
Stopped.
Do podcast.
Oh, so you're going to hear Ed Robertson from the Bare Naked Ladies. Let's put the whole thing in because he's such a nice guy. And I like those guys a lot. And oh, and it's new callers only tonight, so it may just be Ed Robertson from the Bare Naked Ladies. Let's have a listen.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip.
Pretty frightening, but you know the chances are so small. If my feet see nothing but a beat, they better chance you're gonna ride at the mall. But it's 23-4-1 that you can fall in love by the end of this song. Get up, till the bookie put a bet on, not a damn thing will go wrong. The odds are that we will probably be
oh, man. We got there. We got there in the end. Yes, my computer decided to crash and freeze, but there we go. That's Odds Are. That's from the new album that's not yet out by the Bare Naked Ladies. Man, what a thrill. It's only Mr. Ed Robertson on the line. Good evening, Ed.
Oh, Ed, Ian, yes. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, man. How the devil are you? Are you all right?
I'm fantastic. You know, got a live record coming out, doing some more touring, luxuriating in the fine Toronto weather.
Is it? I'm going to warn you now, I can hear ever such a slight delay on the line, so it's going to make spontaneous banter, Ed, almost impossible. But don't worry, just stick to the script and we'll be okay. What is the weather like in Toronto now?
Spring has sprung. It is beautiful blue skies, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Now, I've only been to Canada once. I went to Montreal, where I had the tiniest part in a really awful, awful film with Angelina Jolie. Is Montreal anything like Toronto?
I would say only in that it is a large, bustling city, but I feel that Montreal feels a lot more like a cool European city, and Toronto is very much a big Canadian city.
Montreal does that thing where it thinks it's cooler than it actually is, and they have that because it's French Canada, which blew my mind. When I went there, and if you don't even make an attempt to speak French, like in France, they kind of look at you, they look down at you.
You will be punished if you don't at least make an attempt. It's worse, though, for Canadians, because we all should know how to speak French, because we study it mandatorily in school. And I have found that if I make more than a little bit of effort, it actually does come back to me.
Do you have to learn it? Because I love Canada. It's like America, but without all of the war. Do you have to learn French? Because half of it's kind of French and half of it isn't. Do you all have to expected to know it?
We all have to study it. We don't all have to learn it.
Good for you.
But
good for you.
It is a mandatory part of the curriculum for about 10 years of study.
Now listen,
so I would say, Ian, yeah, j'étudie le français dans l'école pour 10 ans, mais je ne speak very well. So.
We all learn French here, right? But always, and again, I stopped at j'ai 12 ans, so I can say I'm 12 years old, which you know, it was 30 years ago, Ed. I'm lying in French.
Yes.
And it's kind of a creepy lie as well for a 42-year-old man to pretend to be 12. We don't really dig that. Listen, bare naked ladies.
It happens every second of every day on the internet.
Exactly. The internet is a very, very naughty place. Bare naked ladies, man, I love you guys. I'm confused, though, because you came over last year and you've just announced kind of a short tour again this year. What the hell is going on with you guys? Leave us alone.
We'd love to, but we enjoy it too much over there. It was really at the end of the last tour when we were doing the London show. We said, we've got to get back here sooner because these shows are so fun. And understand that us traveling over there is basically a financial loss situation for us. But we love the crowds over there. We love playing over there. So our agent of, 114 years now, Jeff Neal, who's been working with the band since the late 60s, we just corralled him and said, we want to get back as soon as possible. And that's what became this tour.
I'll tweet all the dates and do all the dates in a bit, but Glasgow, it's September, isn't it? And it's ending September the 9th, Friday, September the 9th in London at the Roundhouse. I'm coming, man, and I'm bringing my two boys. My six-year-old, it will be his third ever gig, and my four-year-old, you are his first ever concert. So no bad language, and make it good, please.
Well, you'll have to explain to both of them that it's all downhill after seeing us. I mean, they may want to wait and see a couple of, mediocre shows by comparison first.
My eldest, his first show was the Monkees. We're going to see Brian Wilson in May, and then it's you lot. So you've kind of got a lot to live up to. The first one, the youngest one, he's not seen anything. So, you know, you could just stand there for an hour. He won't know any different.
That's the holy trinity of modern music right there.
Let me play you this. My boys genuinely love you, right? And they love all of your stuff, not just Snack Time, the kids' album. They love all of the stuff. But we've just had an Easter holiday here, 3 weeks, 2 weeks with the kids, and I've been doing a lot of driving around. And as soon as we get in the car, the first thing they say is, can we have another postcard? I say, no. The next thing they say is, and I'm sure you'd appreciate that. The next thing they say is, can we have this? Oh, hang on a minute. Now my computer's crashed. Hang on a second. This is them. Hang on.
Oh, can we have total silence for once, Dad?
Can we, Dad? Can we have total silence? No, hang on a second. Let me get this. But basically, they love you. And your songs, some they're just brilliant pop songs. They kind of have... I made a mistake of saying childish to They Might Be Giants once when I meant childlike. Your songs kind of have a childlike quality about them, a lot of them, don't they?
In that they're able to absorb so much awesomeness and grow so quickly. Is that what you mean by childlike?
That's what I mean. It's not an insult. It's a compliment. They Might Be Giants were furious with me when I said, well, some of your songs are quite childish. Hang on a second. This is what we've had to... I blame you for this. Hang on.
7, 8, 9. I don't need to rest.
There we go. That's one of them. And then this.
The ninjas are deadly and silent.
Flipping, eh?
They're also unspeakably violent. They speak Japanese, they do whatever they please, and sometimes they vacation in Ireland.
Then you think it's finished.
The ninjas are deadly and silent. They're also unspeakably violent. They speak Japanese, they do whatever they please, and sometimes... And if you tear off their masks, they'll be smiling.
I don't know, Ed, if that's necessarily the kind of positive image we should be teaching our youngsters about an ancient underground army of Japanese warriors that killed people.
It's, you know, there is a depth to the cultural reference, but we're just using it as a fart joke.
So you had the album out last year, and the name is... I've just played The Odds Are from it, and I can't remember what the name of the blooming album is.
It is Bare Naked Ladies Rocks Red Rock.
Well, this is the new one that's coming out, isn't it? So you had the studio album out last year, and now you've got a live album coming out. I think it's coming out in May, isn't it, or something?
That is the case. Yes, sorry, the studio record was called Silverball.
Silverball, that was it. And that I'm getting the impression from following you on Twitter, you are obsessed with the Silverball, with pinball.
I love pinball. I don't make a trip to London without visiting the Pipeline Arcade there. And there's a new one that I didn't get a chance to visit last time I was in town because we were staying way, way in the East End. There's a new one in the West End that's sort of a tea house and pinball shop, which I'm looking forward to checking out next time I'm in town.
Best pinball machine in the world?
For me, it's a new one. It's Stern's Walking Dead pinball machine that just came out last year.
That sounds dirty. I like the sound of that.
It is so fantastic. You know, there are pinball geeks who will tell you, oh, the greatest pinball machine in the world is the Twilight Zone machine or the Addams Family machine or the Attack from Mars, whatever. Yeah. Some machine from what they consider the golden age of pinball in the mid to late 90s. I wholeheartedly disagree. The best machines ever are being produced right now.
Yeah. Have you got one yourself? Because I've always wanted one, but I buy so much crap off the internet and eBay that if I, you know, I buy like old like video games consoles like Nintendos and Segas and things. If I turned up one day with a pinball machine, I would be in very serious trouble. I'd be sleeping under it.
I don't have one. I have 15.
Flipping heck, man. Look at that, the rock star lifestyle. This is awesome. Which wing of the mansion?
It happened in the late 90s.
Yeah.
It happened in the late 90s. I was doing that exact thing. I was searching eBay for something ridiculous.
Yeah.
And this was in the early days of eBay, mind you, the 98, 99 eBay days. And
eBay
I was
classic.
Searching for some sort of Star Trek The Next Generation thing. I don't even remember what it was. And the Star Trek The Next Generation pinball machine popped up. And I thought, you can own a pinball machine? It had never occurred to me. And so I placed a bid and I won a no-reserve auction and I bought my first pinball machine for like $600.
Wow, you're such a geek. And I love it. And that's not an insult. Geek is not an insult in this country either, Ed.
I'm a little bit worse for wear. Got a little bit more grey hair.
This is Ian Lee on Talk Radio. That's the Bare Naked Ladies. Get Back Up from the excellent album Silver Ball. Ed, how do you... Ed Robertson from Bare Naked Ladies is on the line. How do you still manage to churn out... And again, churn sounds like an insult. I don't even like that. But such good pop... it sounds awful, doesn't it? But you keep churning out this rubbish. How do you keep finding different tunes? It always strikes me that songwriters can write like hundreds of songs, but they can still keep doing stuff that's different. Don't you just run out of ideas?
I always think I'm going to run out of ideas, but I just love music and I love writing music. And I think, you know, I think the secret is to just enjoy what you do. I write because I like to write. I don't write because I'm desperate to accomplish something with my writing. And that has really kind of taken the pressure off of writing.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I write something and I think, oh, that sounds a little bit like X. You know, that reminds me of something. So I just change it.
You mentioned, you joked about, you know, being around in the 60s. You've been around for ages, but not that. And you reminded me, I'm just reading Paul Stanley's autobiography, Paul Stanley from Kiss. I don't know were ever a huge Kiss fan, but I've just got to the part where Kiss have released songs from The Elder, the concept album. You guys ever consider doing a concept?
I think Brian Adams did some writing on that record.
Brian Adams and Lou Reed, yeah.
Yeah, I hate to go deep on the Kiss trivia with you, Ian, but I can go there if we need to.
I love Kiss. I love the...
You know, I grew up all over concept records. I was a big Rush fan growing up.
Of course,
and they were
the
kind of the kings of the concept records, you know. So other than a kids record and a holiday record, at this point we haven't done a record about, you know, Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451. we haven't gone there yet, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for this band.
I would flip in love that. And you are a band that's full of surprises, you know, with the kids album, which is brilliant for adult. You know, I bought it years before I had kids, with the Christmas record that gets, you know, dug out kind of the last week of November every year, you know, carrying on after Stephen left, still producing brilliant albums, still, you know, still selling out around the world. You and you're right, you have got, there is a lot of affection for you in this country.
Well, we're very fortunate, you know, and not just because of the result of what we do. You know, people come out to see us. They have a good time. They come out again and again. All of that is amazing. But the reason we're most fortunate is because we're still doing this and loving it more than ever.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it easy to contemplate going back in to do another record, coming back over to the UK, doing another tour, when it's like, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I said to my boys recently, I've got 13-year-old and 16-year-old boys and a 20-year-old daughter. And wow. I said, I was talking to my boys recently and I said, you know, there was a period in my career when I was so busy and so swamped and I always felt like, oh, I have to go do this tour, or I have to go do this gig, I have to go shoot this music video, I have to go to this awards show. And now, at this period in my career, I'm always feeling like, oh, I get to go on tour, I get to go do this award show, I get to go shoot this music video. I'm like, this. I just feel very grateful that I'm still doing this.
Very quickly, I'm going to let you go. I will let you go in a second. You can go anytime you want, Ed, if you want to slam the phone down. Two final things. I noticed that the excellent Howard Jones is supporting you on that side. Are you bringing Howard back over here? Because we miss him.
I would love that. I don't know who the opener is going to be on the UK tour as of yet, but I am so looking forward to... we've got Howard Jones and OMD on the American tour.
For a pair of opening acts, man, that's amazing.
I know. The 18-year-old in me is losing his mind right now.
Well, tell them, and tell Howard Jones in particular, we love him.
I will tell him. My wife actually saw him last year, and it was my wife's suggestion to try and get him for the American tour. You know, last year... we had Colin Hay out with us, and it was such a great fit. And my wife went to see Howard and said, oh, he really reminds me of Colin. He's just a wise guy. He's really been there. He's had big hits, but he's still got the voice. He's still a great performer, and he's got loads of amazing stories. So I can't wait.
And finally, how cool was it? And you've been asked this a million times, and I try and do questions that people haven't been asked, but you know what? I don't care. How cool was it, and I watched it again tonight, when you got to sing with Chris Hadfield on the International Space Station? He was on the space station, you were on Earth, and you did a duet together. That must have been amazing.
It is one of the absolute highlights of my career. It was an incredible thing. First of all, just to be asked to write a song with Chris, who's an amazing guy. But then as the whole project shaped up and culminated with us doing a live performance with us in a studio in Toronto and Chris on the International Space Station, it was just a really, really magical moment.
Ed, listen, it's so nice to talk to you. And you've been so kind to me the last few months with stuff that's going on. And, you know, personally, thank you very, very much. When you sent me that message on Twitter, it meant so much. So I really appreciate that. The new album is coming out soon. Bare Naked Ladies, Rocks, Red Rocks, live album. The tour in the UK, again, is Glasgow. It's all in early September. Glasgow on the 2nd, then Bournemouth, Cardiff, Liverpool, Cambridge, ending at the moment on the 9th September, London, the Roundhouse. I'm going to be there. If you see me, you can come and say hello, but please don't touch me, anybody. I don't like being touched, Ed. I don't know about you, but when random people touch me, it makes me very uncomfortable.
I actually like it quite a bit, and I intend to touch you at the Roundhouse, so prepare yourself for that.
I might just let you touch me, Ed. You're a very attractive young man. Hey, listen, man, best luck with the tour. I look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you so much.
Lovely, Ian. Always great to talk to you.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lift.
Larry's on the line. Evening, Larry.
Hello there. Good evening.
Good evening, Larry. What have you got for us?
First-time caller.
Yep.
I'm a very posh man from Hertfordshire, if you don't mind.
Oh, Hertfordshire, very nice. Whereabouts in Hertfordshire?
Do you know Watford at all?
I do know it. It's a bit of a dump.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm not from there. I'm from the posh part, Bushy.
Ooh.
Yes.
Do you like Bushy?
I'm familiar with the Bushy area. Now, I found...
How long have you been in the Bushy area?
Well, I've been trying to get out of the Bushy area for quite some time, but, you know, it's difficult to get out.
Well, once you're in there, you kind of get stuck there, don't you, in the Bushy area?
Well, yes, you do, but I've found I've ensconced myself very nicely in the Bushy area.
Yes.
I'm poking around for somewhere else, you know, to live.
Is it snug in the Bushy area?
It's very... I'm in a cul-de-sac, yeah. I believe, as a posh man, I don't hold track with double entendres like that. Hello?
Jen, say hello to Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Oh, you're very sexy, aren't you? Are you in the Bushy area? Oh, no. Where are you phoning from?
I'm from Nottingham. I'm not from the Bushy area.
No, okay. I was phoning about memories, love.
About memories?
Yeah, memories.
Have you got any particularly good memories?
Oh, well, what I was going to say was going to make the point that the young people, they film everything nowadays. Mostly around the Bushy area.
My life at gigs.
Yeah. Oh, you're a pop star?
I'm not a pop star. I'm a rock fan.
Oh, okay. And all I was going to say was, you know, one has so many lovely memories of, you know, times past that grow with him, probably deeply exaggerated over time. And if they'd been filmed, then you wouldn't be able to romanticise them so much.
For example, Larry, what memories have you got? Hang on a minute. Let me elucidate.
Yeah.
What memories have you got that would have been cheapened had they been filmed on a video camera?
Well, kissing my Margaret in the Bushy area, for example. I took the opportunity. She was squatting in North Watford, but she got up from behind a car, pulled a knicker, and after that, you know, we kissed, and what I will say was appalling. This was 1951. I didn't know anything like it. Her tongue went round and round and round. It's disgusting. I leaned forward and kissed her, and her tongue's getting disgusting. Went all round in my mouth. Absolutely revolting. But, you know, since then I said, stop that. A simple peck on the cheek would do. And that's it. And once, when we went on the Underground, I kissed her all round the circle and right up the Hammersmith and City. Lovely. But I didn't use no tongues. If I'd filmed it, you know, I wouldn't have to be taking back my hypnotherapy to erase this horrible memory from my mind. And then I kissed her. Oh, and then I kissed her. I got a blister.
Normally it's a ring an 090 number for this sort of thing.
Yes. But it did go round and round and it was appalling.
But now you've settled down in the Bushy area.
Well, yes. You know, I think I'd probably, you know, I'd like to spend my last days in the Bushy area. I'd like to be buried in the Bushy area, really. I have been on more than... Anyway, I will say goodnight, because I think...
Why have you never called before, Larry, very quickly before you go?
I didn't like to. I've heard other people, some silly old sod occasionally rings in. I don't know whether he's been in the Bushy area himself, but...
Not for Sunday. If you're referring to Barry from Watford, I think we've managed to work the phone system here.
Yes.
So that he's blocked.
Okay.
So he can't get on.
Well, let's hope he buggers off.
Exactly. And I don't think he's going to be around for much longer. I'm not saying we're going to have him murdered, but he's on his last legs.
Well, he's somewhere with his head down in the bushy area.
Okay, well, that's absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Larry. Ta-ta.
Wow.
Well, Jen, there's...
Hello.
There's an eye-opener for all of us, huh?
He was quite the shy and retiring fellow, wasn't he, I think?
I'm sorry that your first call had to... you had to listen to that. Jen, you've called in. Why have you never spoken before?
Well, I just haven't. I always like listening to people such as him. It's a bit intimidating for having to follow that act, I must say.
Oh, no, it's not. Have you been listening for a while to me?
I have, yes.
Right, well, then you'll know that it's all kind of very relaxed and there's no pressure to perform. And this show, more than any of the others, I think, is kind of, you know, it's like a nice... friendly atmosphere. I think that's what I'm aiming for, it to be friendlier here than it's ever been before.
It is. We had a giggle. That was definitely an icebreaker. That's all I'm saying. As far as icebreakers go, he's nailed it. So you need the checks in the post to him, as far as I'm concerned.
Is there anything you want to talk about? Because the things I've got are your first ever tweets and what are memories. But if there's anything you want to talk about, you can. Or if you just want to say, do you know what, that was fun, I'm off, you can split, Jen. It's up to you.
Yeah, we can talk. I think my first ever tweet was something about... because it was the 10th anniversary this year, so everybody was searching to see what their first one was.
Yeah.
And my first one was something like, oh, I've got to be up in 4 hours, and I'd done a photo shoot the day before.
Oh.
So I was really excited about that.
Twitter annoys me, right? I hated it when I was introduced to it because Davis introduced it to me, and so I thought, if you like it, I'm not going to like it. And I couldn't see the potential in it. And then I kind of got really into it, and now I wish we didn't.
You can't stop.
Well, no, it's very Moorish. And today I was thinking, do you know what? I'm not going to go on Twitter. And then I tweeted something. I thought, well, yeah, I'm not going to tweet much. And then I was all over the shop tweeting nonsense.
You get a bit twitchy, don't you? You start thinking, am I missing something? Is there breaking news? Or I've got to share something. I tweeted you the other day actually to say that I liked your new Twitter bio where you said you weren't a journalist.
Oh. After Friday's show, I was getting loads of abuse from people who hadn't heard the show and didn't know me, going, well, you should research your guests, or are you not a proper journalist? I'm not a journalist at all. Hence the Twitter bio, I'm not a journalist. And then people started on the pot going, well, he's really living up to his Twitter bio. No, I'm genuinely, I'm not a journalist.
I am. I can put that in mine. Actually, my Twitter handle's got the word "journo" in it, so
oh,
that's
it?
Right.
Well, yeah, that would do it. Do you? Here's one of the things I don't like about Twitter, and I've noticed a lot of the young bucks do it here, and I've noticed people do it at the BBC as well, like proper stuff. Is that? So I'm talking to Kath through the glass now. Do you remember the other week there was someone was trying to? It might have been Ricky was trying to find a number in Washington. Was trying to get a contact in Washington. I don't think it was you, Ricky, who works on a couple of the other shows. He was trying to get a number, get a contact in Washington because there'd been a shooting or something there, and he was firing off. And this isn't a criticism. This is just the way things are now. Firing off messages to people on Twitter. You know, journalists and people in Twitter. And Kath said, "Why don't you phone the Washington Post?" And it's not in any way a criticism. This is how it's done now, is that journalists and people approach people on Twitter saying, could we contact you for a story? Could you follow me so I could DM you? It's the modern equivalent of, I'd like to invite you to join me on LinkedIn. Follow me so I can DM you? And it just seems an odd way of getting in touch with people.
Well, there was all the criticism. Somebody compiled all these screenshots of journalists in the wake of the terrorist attacks when the bombs went off, of all these tweets of the platitude of, hope you're safe, can I use your video, can I use your picture, keep safe, let us know you're safe. And it was just one after the other where every journalist was saying it as if it was a tick box that they had to do, to go, can we use your picture, can we use your video, but keep safe, hope you're safe. And it ended up just being one big cliche and didn't make anybody look particularly good.
Yeah, I know, it's a weird thing. And I'm also aware, here's the thing, when Paul Daniels died, right, I'm going off on a slight tangent now,
You go for it.
I'm going for it. And Paul Daniels died, right? I didn't know the fella, never met the fella. I've met his wife a couple of times, and I did come down with me with Debbie McGee. And I tweeted that I was a big fan of Paul Daniels, but I never met him, right? When he died, I found out he died because I got two text messages from journos at Sky News saying, sorry about the bad news. Would you be prepared to come on the air and talk about how you knew Paul Daniels? Sorry?
What?
Oh, he's dead, is he? Now, I didn't know Paul Daniels, but imagine if I did. And that
That's
was
a way
how
to find out.
That
yeah.
was how I found out, by a text from some random journo.
It's not the most sensitive way of dealing with it, is it? It's all that you were a friend, so that's not really something that you're taught in your ethics lectures.
What
I don't
kind,
think.
What kind of what kind of journalism do you do, Jen? What do you do?
I've been a music journalist for 15 years. I write for music magazines. So I do all the rock, metal, emo, screamo, indie, you name it. But I also write for local papers as well, like the Nottingham Post and things like that.
Hey, well, listen, it all pays the bills. It's all groovy. What music mags do you write for?
I used to write for Enemy and Rock Sound, The Fly and Big Cheese, but now I mostly do it for Nottingham Post. I do BuzzFeed as well. I'm a regional writer for BuzzFeed.
No one, a bit
of everything.
No one pays for writing anymore, do they?
The Post does.
Does
the
it?
Post pays. BuzzFeed pays. Yeah, the clickbait pays.
Well, BuzzFeed. I don't think BuzzFeed is the top five things you need to know about Kim Kardashian's breasts, isn't it?
It's listicles. Yeah, I did a list about can you speak Nottinghamshire slang with all the different phrases and things. But it's good. It's fun. It keeps me happy. I've gone back to uni as a mature student.
Oh wow!
To go and do a degree, and I'm still freelancing on the side, so it keeps me busy.
Nice one, Jen. See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
No, it was great. Thank you for having me.
Will you call again?
Quite the act to follow. I will. Brilliant. Definitely.
Nice one, Jen. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ta. There we go. This is working a treat. Look, seven down. We've got hours to go yet. 0844-499-1000. Lee, Simon, Bill, Steve, Angus, stay there. Come to you after this.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Right, 0844-499-1000. It's new callers only. We've had nine so far. Flipping brilliant. I'm well up for that. Thank you. Bill's on the line. Yes, Bill.
Hello, Ian. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you, Bill. What have you got?
I'm good. I could talk about all sorts of jewellery service, but...
Could you talk with your phone near the mouthpiece?
Do you know what? I think I've got the same problem as Yasser. I'm with a really rubbish network.
Is it the network that's doing that? Or is it the fact that you've got... What model phone have you got?
I've got a Samsung Edge.
That's a good phone. It can't be the network that makes it rubbish.
Honestly, I don't want to name them.
No, please don't. Please don't.
I won't do it, but it's not a mainstream one. It's a bit of a hippie one.
Okay, I think I'm with a hippie one, and my hippie one. Well, my hippie one uses a mainstream one, so. Well, never mind. We'll get by.
But yeah, no, definitely. No, I've been listening to you since the LBC days.
Yeah, you've called me at LBC.
Yeah, and Absolute as well.
But this is Luke, Bill, this is...
Danny Player.
Bill, this is new callers only tonight.
Yeah, I've not spoke to you on talk radio.
Fair play, you've kind of found a loophole, but you can't call me tonight.
I'm in now, though, my friend, I'm in now.
Well, you're out now, though, Bill.
I'll call you tomorrow, though, as well.
All right, good. Call me tomorrow. There we go. You're out now, Bill. Steve's on the line. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Ian. How lovely to speak to you.
Hang on a second. Is this Barry from Watford?
No, it's Steve from... I've called him from Eastbourne.
Steve, can you just say, my wife's Charlie...
My wife's Charlie.
Sounds like Barry from Watford to me.
No, well, I'm afraid it isn't, honestly.
Are you sure? Okay, Steve. Well, Steve,
I'm
turn
positive.
Turn your radio off, Steve. And
sorry, I have a problem. Oh. I'm a disabled guy, and uh-oh. I can't get to the radio to turn it right off. But if it's really annoying you,
no, don't you?
I'll go.
No. What's the weather like in Eastbourne at this time of night? Chilly.
The weather. My curtains are drawn. I can't see. But I would imagine it's quite cold.
Yeah.
So the reason I phoned was...
Go on, Steve.
Do you know anything about digital radio from the point of view of why they're turning some of the stations down?
What stations are they turning down?
Well, like, they've they've lessened the power of LBC. Your station has been very bad in this area till today.
Oh.
This is the first time I've been able to listen to it today. And I'm not able to go online, and I don't particularly want to go online. But sorry if I'm talking too fast.
No, it's fine. I'm not particularly... I'm not particularly up on... This is on DAB, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, and I'm getting distracted by someone having a pop on Twitter. I'm going to ignore him for a second. I'm not particularly up on the geeky aspects of DAB, and I don't really understand how it works. Because also there's DAB, which we're on, but isn't there like DAB Plus as well?
Oh, I've never heard of that. How does that work?
I don't even know how FM radio works. Do you know what I mean? The fact that there are millions of radio waves just flying all over space at the moment, that if you've got an aerial, you can pick them up.
Yeah, but just can I say, I first started listening to you when you were on LBC, then I moved to Eastbourne, so until recently I couldn't get LBC, but I can get LBC now, and of course Talk Radio.
Yes.
But I'm so glad that Talk Radio has come on the air. But I do like it when I did like that person from Bushy. It made me laugh a lot because it was
someone
innuendo really made me laugh.
Innuendo. Someone has, I didn't get it, but someone has suggested that actually that may have been a caller that's called in before, which is naughty. And actually, they were being absolutely filthy.
I know, it was so funny. It just cracked me up big time. Anyway.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. What else do you listen to on Talk Radio, on this station?
Actually, you're the only program at the moment. You're the only program I listen to on Talk Radio at the moment.
OK, well, listen, Steve, check out... There's some other bits and pieces. You've got Paul Ross on here and Julia Hartley Brewer and John Holmes and Sam Delaney, loads, and Johnny Gordon-Ash, loads of good people on, so check it out.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm sorry if my call's a bit boring.
Steve, you've obviously not listened to this show long enough.
Well, I have. I used to listen to it on LBC you were on LBC.
Well, you're very kind, Steve. Make sure you call. You've not been boring at all. It's been a pleasure. Make sure you call again, won't you?
Hello?
Yeah, but take care, Steve.
Take care, look after yourself.
Tatty bye, there we go. Why not? Well, I tell you what we're getting. Lots of nice people calling in.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Well, that was good.
Do you want to put in an alternative?
Well, that was bad.
There we go.
Both bases are covered there.
Yeah.
Both bases are covered. Here's a tweet you don't get very often.
Oh, gosh,
from
what?
Paul Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
There's something... okay. Ian, I'm a new guy on Twitter. Can you help me to know what people to follow?
What?
Are you a real person, Paul Gardner? Because the previous tweet is, I'm getting the hand of Twitter. Quite like it. Thinking of calling you tonight, but never phoned a radio show before. Then there's another tweet. Not long before I finish work. I don't know if this is a real person.
Oh, he's just experimenting with what goes on Twitter.
I hope
people do that. People say what they're doing.
First ever tweet. Here we go. This is tonight's phone-in. What was your first ever tweet? I'm loving my day. That's Paul Gardner.
Aww.
First ever tweet. It's good. Nice tweet, Paul. Well, thank you for following. Tonight's show was brought to you by the letter P, the number 6, and by the colour purple. What a movie. The end.
You've never seen it, have you?
No.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.